I start with the intro music, or should we just? I like to switch it up every now and then.
If you want to switch it up now and then, what the hell are you asking me for, man? God dang, you're putting too much pressure on me, man.
Eh, whatever.
You are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, that guy breaking it down over there. My brother, Dane Beasley, my guy, my brother, my friend, my ace. How you doing today, man?
Doing pretty well on this gloomy Monday for the viewers. Just pretend it's Tuesday, but we got some rain outside, so hopefully that isn't a part into our recording sesh.
Yeah, like a typical Monday, like gloomy, and it was like 90 degrees earlier, and now it's like cloudy outside. So typical summer slash spring weather. The spring now, you know.
This Texas. This is Texas in its finest right now. Only thing we missing is, I don't know, some sort of snow or ice later on in the week.
pretty much. Before we get into the rundown of what we're going to talk about on today's podcast, like to say first, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star and a review. It really help us get our podcast to the listeners there. Or as Bomani Jones says on this podcast, if you give us anything more than or less than 5 stars, I am inclined to believe that you are a hater. I love the
Love it every time. He just rolls off his tongue every time he says it.
Oh, you do it, man. But yeah, do that for us. It really helps us out on the podcast. Today, of course, we are talking about the NFL draft. It is the Monday after the NFL draft this weekend in Cleveland. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the big names of round one, of course. And then, of course, we're going to bring back the general homeboy segment with our guy Dane, and he's going to break down certain things like that.
Okay. But
a little bit about the crypto coming into effect with some NFL players, some cryptocurrency for you guys out there that are into that.
Cryptic tweets.
Cryptic everything. And we're going to talk about a little HBCU stuff. Shaquille O'Neal's son committed to Texas Southern. We'll talk a little bit about that, as well as maybe some influence from Deion Sanders, some of those guys that are coaching in the HBCU ranks. Maybe another big name that is coming to the HBCU coaching circles. And then, of course, we'll end it talking about our favorite Marvel MCU. They dropped a sizzle trailer detailing some things that we can expect in Phase 4. And yeah, man. So that is on the rundown. First, Dane, I like to congratulate, you know, the job is not done.
Oh, no.
I always get on here and talk about my Baylor Bears, man. But your alum, Sam Houston State Bearcats, put in work this weekend, man. How kind of tell the listeners, you know, how you're feeling this weekend?
On the edge of my seat, it's already as if it already isn't bad enough being a Cowboys fan. It was very up and down roller coaster like game. And of course, as all amazing, fantastic storybook finishes goes in terms of playoff games, the game was won in the final seconds of the fourth quarter. So hats off to Bearcat Nation, all the ballers on defense for not, you know, giving up any touchdowns. And, you know, bro, there were some points put up on the board, obviously, but the defense doing what they did is impressive, especially considering our history, our troubled and painful history with North Dakota State. So we appreciate I appreciate them for putting it all out there. And of course, the student athletes right now, of course, in the midst of COVID, just really, really special that they're able to come together the way that they did. And yeah, so I'm ready. I'm ready for what else is in store. I'm riding along with them.
Like you strapping on the pads next Saturday.
Yeah. Woo, hope not.
I didn't catch the whole game, but I did catch the last series when the defense got that last stop, which very impressive. There's a couple of Central Texas cats that are going to Sam Houston. I know a local cat from the coach I used to – or coach – the school I used to coach at, Waco Connolly. Gaither, he's going there to play DB, but he was like, Connolly's everything. But to see Sam Houston do so well, they've been to the championship game before, correct?
I think two or three times. I did not go, but I – yeah, I should have went. Well, no. At the time I was still a Poe College student, so that drive, you know, even though it, you know, it's still in the state of Texas, a few hours away from Huntsville, not a few hours, 3 or 4 hours away in up in Frisco, but I had the opportunity to go, but I stayed back and ended up watching it with my Sam fam. But they've been a few times, of course they've come up short a number of times, but hopefully this year brings different results. But these new kids, man, I don't know. I never thought I'd be in a position to say, as an older person, like, man, I don't know what's in the water with these new guys, but they're ballers. So I think the same sentiments with these guys, as we heard it all the time when we were coming up. Well, I don't know what's in the water with you guys, but, you know, we're doing amazing things. But now seeing them doing what they're doing and carry on that torch of home playoff success is pretty dope. So eat them up, cats. Let's get it.
So shout out to the Bearcats. And this weekend, they have another game at home, correct, against James Madison?
I believe so. I'd have to – it's been a wild
I believe
48 hours. But
yeah, correct. Yeah. Listeners, if wrong, but I think they play again this Saturday, semifinals in Huntsville against James Madison on ABC, which is pretty cool to get this national exposure. I know COVID played a big role in – you know, them moving it to the spring, which kind of sucks because you got to turn around and have that fall season. But with no football going on right now, and to be able to play on a nationally televised channel and
get huge
out there for Sam Houston, that's pretty big for them, man. So congrats to Sam Houston and good luck this Saturday. But of course, this past weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we had the NFL draft in Cleveland. Man, from a general standpoint, I feel like, and you can correct me, maybe, I don't know, I'm just now noticing it today, but with this year's draft, it seemed like all the fans that I follow, like of different teams on social media, Twitter, Facebook, our friends, it seems like everybody was kind of satisfied with the selections their teams made. Did you kind of get a glimpse of everybody got who they wanted, or if they didn't get that exact person, somebody else that can fill a need for their team?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fair to say that. And also just taking in consideration being in those shoes myself as a super fan, just knowing when you get that new shiny toy and how excited you are about it. Now, these are grown ass men. They're not toys by any means, but just the analogy. So I think for the most part, a lot of people were satisfied with the selections. And of course, it's always amazing, regardless of who my team picks the past few years. It's just been an amazing thing just to see televised, at least, the lives of, you know, a few hundred kids, you know, just change instantly. Like, boom, one moment, you know, you're, you know, eating ramen and relying on the school cafeteria. And the next moment, you're a multimillionaire. So it's huge. But I think from a fan's point of view, there was a lot to be excited about for this upcoming season. A lot.
Yeah. Like the bright stars of college football that we see change the NFL. Like the NFL draft is always hyped every year, but I thoroughly enjoy it. Like sitting down on, you know, in front of my couch, like it's like an event every year that, you know, regardless of how you feel about NCAA, it's always great to see college kids, you know, fulfill their dream of crossing the state, or if they're at home, you know, celebrating, getting that call from their team. But it's definitely an event for sure. And it was great to watch kind of going through the picks in the first round. The top four kind of went as expected as far as maybe the first two, we'll say Trevor Lawrence going one to Jacksonville, Zach Wilson going to the Jets. Of course, before the draft, there was a lot of controversy, a lot of rumors going around about the third pick for the Niners. They ended up selecting Trey Lance.
Smoke screens, boy. They did the dang thing. Smoke screens, because they had everybody buzzing, talking about why the hell are they going to pick Mac Jones? Like, oh, disgusting. And of course, they, you know, they hit everybody with the they was like
with the trade.
Yeah,
it's going number three to the Niners. Would probably be a pretty good fit with the Kyle Shanahan offense, with the bootleg, being able to have a mobile quarterback. I couldn't see Mac Jones going there. And, you know, that's why a lot of people were criticizing the Niners organization about, you know, what that move would do for them. But like you said, clear smokescreen by John Lynch and those guys over there.
Amazing. Amazing.
Got Kyle Pitts going forward to the Falcons in that offense. What you think about that, man?
That's dope as hell. If you have a quarterback that's you can rely on for, of course, now 17 games. Shout out to my bros and Brett's out there in Atlanta, which I have a huge problem on your hands. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like the gimme there was, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
From what I'm hearing, and you know, I'm not an expert, obviously, but I am not an expert, but from what I saw, that they're possibly fielding trade offers for Julio Jones, and that's
because I heard that too.
Mess around with the cap room, but if they somehow end up keeping Julio,
that's going to be a force on offense. I don't know what they're going to do on defense, but that's going to be a force on offense.
Put up points all day, but offensively, yeah, they with Kyle Pitts, definitely a dynamic player that should put some points up.
So who are you going to double team? Who are you going to double team? Julio? Calvin? Kai?
It's matchup problems everywhere.
I'll tell you one thing. The running back, whoever is playing running back getting carries, they're going to be feasting.
The running
Believe
back.
Believe that. Ito Smith's still there, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Right? So Todd Gurley's still there, too?
Oh, yeah. Dang, I forgot about Todd. No. Yeah. Todd's there.
Okay. I want to say because I like Ito Smith. Yeah, he's still with the Falcons. Yeah, I like what he brings to the table. So their offense is going to be on fire. They're going to sell a lot of tickets. I don't know about the defense, though, similar to the Dallas Cowboys. So here we go.
A lot of reunions in the draft. College players reuniting with, you know, their former teammates. You got going five, Ja'Marr Chase, going to the Bengals to reunite with Joe Burrow, despite what some might think they might need it to get Sewell from.
N.A. Sewell, yeah.
Hopefully, I'm thinking.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of quick reads. Two step dropbacks.
Joe, of course, seemed very happy, obviously, to be his teammate. Jalen Waddle, obviously, going to the Dolphins, reuniting with Tua. And then Devontae Smith trading up to the Philadelphia Eagles, trading up the Cowboys spot, and you're already shaking your head to select Devontae Smith. First thing that was going through your head, Dane, because one, you immediately text me after the ninth pick because my Broncos selected PS2 Patrick Surtain the second. And so you're upset about that.
Oh, yeah. There was an exchange of some explicit languages.
Yeah, that we cannot repeat
over the air. But it was a happy version of it.
Yeah.
It was all happy salutations. But obviously the Cowboys, in my opinion, I'm not sure what's going on in their war room, what their draft board looked like. Mm-hmm. However, given the lack of depth, well, we had lack of depth in multiple positions on defense, but we need to continue to build that secondary up, and the playmakers that I thought were going to be there, and many people thought were going to be there, they ended up being gone. Speaking of no one other than, of course, J.C. Horn and, of course, Patrick Surtain. So that, in my opinion, or at least my mock drafts that I did, my board was wiped out. And there was no other guy that you can get that early without considering reaching really bad or reaching really hard, which, of course, could come back to bite you in the hand.
Yeah.
So they did what any other team would do. No, correction. Well, yeah, let me go back. They did what any other team would do. They traded back. However, they did some dumb stuff by trading with the division rival. And my thing is, not even division rival. It didn't have to be a division rival. It could be just somebody in the division, a rival, from then the division.
You have the Giants in between both of those picks too, which is
definitely. And it's strange because it's like either you one they either picked to trade with the team who offered them the most in return, which is of course with the Eagles, it was just a third round pick, which is fine if it's not a team within your division. But at the same time, I don't know what type of conversation went on with that or what type of what they could have done with the Bears. They could have made, you know, a trade with the Bears. But of course, who knows what their board looked like. But, you know, what history showed us is they went with Micah Parsons, who, of course, is probably the best off-ball linebacker in the draft this year by far. Of course, obviously, a lot of us were immediately excited, and some of us were a bit confused and puzzled. Of course, there's no shortage of character concerns with Mr. Parsons, but a lot of folks will simply look the other way as long as he brings what he needs to bring on Sunday on the field. But, of course, we got a lot of uncertainty with the defense, but, you know, yeah, that happened. I wasn't too happy about it until day three. So day three, I was like, okay, I'm cool. I don't care. And we'll get to that later. Or maybe we'll get to it. No, right now. We ended up taking Jabril Cox. The best coverage linebacker from college football last year, in my opinion.
It's an Achilles heel for the Cowboys, right? You have Van Der Esch, you know, him not being agile enough to cover those, maybe the tight ends or the slot guys.
Jalen Smith getting picked apart.
Yeah.
It was bad. Like, it's obviously, it's definitely a need, but there's no excuse. Their entire defense played well. There were some highlights and some bright spots on the defense last year. However, the guys who your veteran leadership, who you're anticipating and expecting to step up in big times during those big moments in the games, we did not have that. So, of course, with the retirement of Sean Lee, there's obviously some depth concerns there, which I understand the Micah Parsons pick as well as the Jabril Cox pick. However, I think those two picks definitely put the veterans on notice who are returning in linebackers. So we'll see how that goes.
Didn't they already decline Van Der Esch's fifth-year option?
Sunday night at 12, I think. Right. Sunday night at 12 is when they decided that his agent – or not his agent. Yeah, his agent reported to one of the beat guys here, and the beat guy reported on it. So, I mean, that was fine. You can get away with doing a whole bunch of nothing and getting a fat check during the Jason Garrett days, but it's, of course, a new sheriff is in town, so we'll see how that goes with Money Mike. So
all I know with – I don't think it was the Jabril Cox pick, but when y'all picked Micah Parsons in the first round, Van Der Esch was getting roasted. It was that
rain inflamed.
That Ravens play got retweeted, and somebody was like, "Yeah, I understand this pick."
Because that has been happening for years. Like, replace that, obviously, replace that quarterback with a running back. The Rams game 2 years ago, like, we just get the Browns last year, we just got gashed, like, so bad. Like, stuff like that is not, you know, filling gaps, paying attention to your assignments, and just bad anticipation and over-aggressiveness. So, Micah Parsons is probably one of the best run defenders that we've seen in a while. But we'll see how it pans out, seeing that we haven't, you know, seen him in an entire year since he opted out. So we'll see how that works. But enough about the Cowboys, man. Enough about those guys. Seeing as they are not in my top five overall, drafting teams this year in terms of value, fit, and, of course, I don't know, not reaching. So
right,
we'll get to that later, of course.
Right before you guys picked Parsons, the Bears selected their franchise quarterback, Justin Fields. He slid a little bit down out of the top 10 to number 11. And what was really, really funny, I saw a tweet and I immediately went to the Chicago Bears Instagram. And Dan, you're familiar with the little thing that's going around, like, show me you're this without saying, or how does it go? Like,
show me you're a fan of the Cowboys without telling me you're a fan of the Cowboys.
So this one,
last championship I watched was on VHS, huh?
It was making fun of the Bears. It was like, show me you haven't had a franchise quarterback without telling me you had a franchise quarterback. And it all on the Chicago Bears Instagram are pictures of Justin Fields, like, doing random stuff. Picture of him and his dog, like, back to back to back. So yep. We had talked with our friend Zach, who is a diehard Bear fan. And he had said something that really stuck to me. And I mean, we all really thought about, but then when you actually hear those words, you're like, dang, that is horrible. He was saying how, you know, throughout his lifetime, like maybe even the Chicago Bears existence, they haven't had a legit guy that they can call their franchise quarterback.
Right. Been about that defense.
Always been about the monsters of the Midway defense, black and blue.
Little run game.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that run they had to the Super Bowl, they had Rex Grossman at quarterback. So kudos to them for making it.
Chris Leak was on that squad too, wasn't he?
Chris Leak.
But like a backup. No, I mean, of course, not like a pivotal role or anything like that. But, you know,
yeah,
he was there.
A lot of PT. But Justin Fields to Chicago, I think, is a good move for sure. They have Nick Foles still there, and they just signed. Who's the other quarterback they got? Nick Foles.
I'll tell you why. That leads into a perfect segment. So, General Homeboy, can we just get into a little 5-minute segment real quick? Is that something? Or
it's time for General Homeboy.
All right, man. So if it was a task, of course, because one thing you want to do when you're talking about, you know, who had the best draft or who did the best or grading drafts, period, is taking into consideration, you got to let these guys play, right? And before you can judge and see, you know, how well the draft went and how, you know, how well it didn't go. But you can draft in terms of how well the team picked in terms of fit and value and things like that. So put together a little sums for the listeners who enjoy this whole thing that we call the NFL draft and the process in itself. There are a few teams that did amazing and a lot of expert opinions. They did amazing as far as drafting. When you're talking about picking a guy that's mocked to go a certain place or mocked to go in a particular order versus, let's say, you're picking in the first round, picking a guy that's literally mocked to go in the first round by hundreds of professionals is great. But if you're in the first round and you pick a guy that was mocked in the third or fourth round, that's horrible. You don't do that. So obviously, one of the things I wanted to highlight was teams that I thought did a great job of sticking to picking guys in terms of where they would rank it and their talent based on their tape. And then, of course, team fit. It's a very tough thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do as a Cowboys fan because we had so many opportunities to pick the guy that should have been picked and staring them down in the face. But of course they went in another direction. Like I said, we could visit this podcast 2 or 3 years down the road and I'm completely wrong and that's okay. However, starting criminals number one, Denver Broncos, I believe. Yeah. So I'm actually going to General Homeboy is going to, you know, phone a friend being Deontay Epps. What is the number one reason why you would want someone like Patrick Surtain on your team when you're in a division with, I don't know, let's say a potential Hall of Famer in about 15, 20 years?
I'll take this part away, Dane. So we're in the AFC West going against not defending, but, you know, he's a Super Bowl champion. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes has weapons galore everywhere. Yeah. So we got to be able to stop those guys. And drafting a guy like Patrick Surtain that can play man-to-man defense alone on an island.
Good man-to-man defense.
There we go. Elite, you know, one of the elite college corners. That's going to be a necessity. And with Vic Fangio and what he's trying to put together, you know, we already have Vaughn and Chubb coming off the outsides, put pressure.
Yeah, pressure is going to be there.
Right, and you're going to need guys to be able to cover. So we got Patrick Surtain to team up with Ronald Darby, Bryce Callahan, Kyle Fuller.
You got some dogs on defense in that secondary, too. So, and that's the thing. That's the thing that hurt me the most when y'all went and stole my boy.
Yeah.
Y'all had somebody y'all signed. Like, y'all didn't need, like, yes, the youth. Yes, he's going to be in the league for a number of years.
I think that's part of it. The two main guys that we have besides Surtain, we have Fuller and Bryce Callahan. They're both on 1-year expiring
contracts.
And, you know, they're reach. I mean, 30 in the NFL isn't like in it old, but you know, you want to try
football years.
Right. You want to try to get those guys, get guys under there that are developed and ready to take over full time, which he could probably start, you know, but yeah, he'll probably ease in at the nickel, maybe dime corner. But yeah, we want to have those guys in place to take over if those guys don't come back next season. So I can see why we selected him. But man, yeah. In the AFC West, not even with Mahomes, but, you know, Justin Herbert had a hell of a season last year. And, you know, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So we got to have guys to cover. And then you got the Raiders over there. So,
well, I certainly appreciate your analysis breaking that down. And I figured it would probably be best to speaking with someone who specifically keys in on those particular Denver Broncos every season in and out, regardless of how bad they suck at the quarterback position, which they passed up on Justin Fields, which they kind of told the public they were very interested in Justin Fields, but kind of passed up on the opportunity to draft him. But that's a topic for another day, black quarterback. Anyways.
Discount double check. Let's go. All right.
We'll see. Pump your brakes there, playboy. We'll see.
I'm cool.
That brings me to the second team. I think they did a pretty good job as far as sticking to team fit and picking up guys of value. The Detroit Lions. Now they've had some lulls as far as their defense is concerned. So of course they went back to back picks. We had defensive tackle, but of course my favorite pick out of that bunch isn't the first guy they took off the board in the second round, but it's the second guy they took off the board in the third round. That's Aleem McNeil. So he's a defensive tackle out of NC State. He's a nose guy. He's going to plug. He's going to use that amazing, violent combo that he has, and he's going to help solidify, get them out, solidify that defense, and get them out of the basement as in concerns of, you know, being in the bottom of the NFL in terms of pass defense and run defense. But there's your run stopper there. In my opinion, I would have loved for the Dallas Cowboys to get a guy like that, a bona fide nose, bona fide one tech. So we missed out on an opportunity.
You talk about nose tackle, and, you know, that's kind of what the identity Dan Campbell is trying to bring, the nastiness to Detroit. Not sure how much is going to work.
It's a start. You already touched on the Bears. The Bears, they were my third team. I think they drafted pretty well. Shocking. I did not anticipate them taking a Justin Fields, but they did. So shout out to them. We talked about value and fit. And the only note that I had in that particular team for that particular grade was AD. AD stands for Andy Dalton. You watched Andy Dalton play last year. You know that man is not fit to be your starting quarterback. And of course, I had the privilege of watching that man a few times last year because he was on my Dallas Cowboys. And in that one particular time of year, did he make anybody look better? At no particular time in the year was there a throw or a series of throws, a consistent array of throws that made me go, wow.
Yeah.
Of course, that could all be just the Dallas Cowboys and the way that they run their offense, but we'll see. So in terms of the Chicago Bears, I think it was a magnificent idea for them to move up. Of course, to the disagreement and disgruntlement of a lot of Chicago Bear fans, it wasn't their cup of tea, but they're going to see pretty soon how special Justin Fields is, given that maybe he takes a back seat and sits a few games before he takes the helm of that offense. But they have weapons there. They upgraded the offensive line. Shout out to Zach one more time. He's going to see homie's not that bad. Homie is not that bad.
Tevin James, correct. Yeah. I don't think it was his name. Tevin.
I think it was Tevin.
Yeah.
That was fun though. And then of course, moving on to they're the butt of the NFL jokes, or at least they were.
Sleeper pick in the AFC, man.
Yeah. The Browns. The Cleveland Browns. So they had a number of good picks. They already have done a very good job of consistently picking great guys. Well, they've obviously been picking in the top 10 for a while. So, I mean, broken clock is right twice. Anyways. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, they picked up my guy. That was probably one of the best linebackers, or we don't even know what he is. Linebacker slash safety slash whatever. He's just Swiss Army knife, and they have a pretty
– Did you see –
Yeah, they have a – Oh, what did you say?
The report that came out that said why he dropped.
Oh, yeah. What was that? What happened? Oh, what did I miss?
Apparently, there was like a pre-draft screening or something, and they some teams saw some little heart issues and –
That like a murmur or something?
I don't know if it was a murmur. I didn't really click on the link to see exactly what it was saying, but there was I read a report that said that's why he dropped, because he was at least he was expected to go around.
He should have been in the top 25 somewhere, because that dude that's you don't get no you can't build a guy like that. You, not even if you wanted to. Right. But I think he landed on the right team. I personally would have liked him to land with the Ravens, because I think he would be like some sort of all pro down the line, because the Ravens, they know how to build defense. So he'll be fun to watch. Of course, there's great value where they got him, where they drafted him at. Of course, he brings a lot of versatility to the table. And on top of that, there are a lot of young leaders on that defense. So we'll get to see them in action in the AFC this upcoming year. Moving along. Back to the AFC, or we're still in the AFC, but specifically another division rival to the Denver Broncos, the Chargers. I loved that they picked up Asante Samuels Jr. So, of course, a few years ago, you could talk about them having one of the best secondaries in the league. Of course, we're a few years removed from that. It would have helped them a lot last year. It's certainly going to help them this year. They have a certified, bona fide dog in Asante Samuels Jr. Of course, he fell in the draft, obviously, because the same reason why a lot of people fall in the draft, because height.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if you can play, you can play. Until it hurts you, it shouldn't be used to knock you or nitpick you. He was a very, very, very intriguing guy. I mean, of course, he has NFL bloodlines, which is very obvious from the name. So if he's anything, even just a fraction of his dad, he's going to be okay in the NFL, which I don't think he'll have any problems fitting in. He has the work ethic. He has the coverage skills, and he is not no chump. So you can try to throw it up on him if you want to, but he's not the kind of guy that's going to back down. I think that's exactly what that charge defense needs. At this particular time, especially when you're going to be facing somebody that could a division that could possibly consist of an Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Maybe. We'll see. And last but certainly not least, I think they had a pretty good draft themselves based on, you know, position fit or draft fit and value, the Miami Dolphins. And we see the defense that they are building out there, Brian Flores, and we see the consistency and the need they have for that special teams changer, game changer. And I think they got one in your boy, Waddle. So he's obviously, you've heard of Waddle unless you've been living under a rock or something like that, but he is a slot nightmare and a return specialist. So he can make it happen. He's electrifying. You know those
came back at probably like 75% in the national title game, and still was a problem, man. That's how. Not that I needed more validation of how great of a receiver and player he was, but he solidified that for me even more during that game.
I would have to agree. So, and of course, you already spoke to it earlier when we alluded to the reunions in the NFL, specifically with Jalen Waddle meeting back up with Tua. So I can't wait to see that. And then you know what they're doing. They're being very intentional. They're trying to improve that offense with some vertical threats. So they'll have Will Fuller. They'll have Will Fuller back. I think what? We got a 4-game suspension or 5? One of those. Maybe he's serving a suspension. You got to worry about freaking Will Fuller, and you got to worry about Jalen Waddle. Like, safeties, nickel, slot guys, good luck, man, because somebody's going to get burnt.
Now it's going to be all on Tua. Like, they put things around him, and like,
and no excuses now.
You got to, is he going to be able to take that next step?
We'll see.
If he does, they're definitely competing in the AFC East.
Yeah. So until next time, not sure whenever that'll be. Your boy, the one and only General Homeboy, signing off.
It's time for General Homeboy.
Going back to the first overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, his signing bonus, and this is going to be more in your field because we talked about this a lot. I am not, you know, very aware. I'm aware of it, but I'm not keen to the cryptocurrency life. Mm-hmm. So
come to the right person.
Number one NFL draft pick, Trevor Lawrence, puts his signing bonus in cryptocurrencies estimated worth $24 million. This is coming from Bitcoin.com. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence was selected number one overall in the 2021 NFL draft by the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night. 6'6", 220-pounder has partnered with crypto management and trading platform Blockfolio, where he has reportedly converted his sign-on bonus to cryptocurrencies. He tweeted last week, pumped, announced, I've joined Blockfolio, excited to help bring these two worlds together. He also said, when it comes to my crypto portfolio, I wanted a long-term partner in the space that I could trust. And before I get your take on it, Dane, Keith also sent us a clip from this guy on Instagram, Dorian Group 82. And basically the clip is of Spencer Dinwiddie from the Brooklyn Nets. And he's basically talking about how he rejected his brand and he's trying to build his own brand. And he was one of the first athletes that I can remember that wanted his salary in Bitcoin. And so I obviously with Trevor Lawrence news going, you know, having his sign bonus in that effect, seems like we're seeing a lot of athletes and, you know, you've seen a little shift as far as, you know, the public, but we haven't seen a lot as far as sports and big time athletes making that switch to crypto. How big of it do you think was it that Trevor Lawrence, you know, made this decision?
Huge. All eyes are on him. He's the first overall pick. He has been the coveted quarterback for some time. People knew that dude was going to be a star in high school. You've seen the zip that dude had on the ball as a high school athlete. There's no denying it. So with that being said, on the biggest night and the most televised event on that particular month, that particular day, in terms of the NFL, when you make a move like that, you're not only setting a standard, but you're putting the world on notice. And I say the world because crypto, it's global. It's not one of those things that's focused on or paid attention only by people that are in the United States of America. This thing is everywhere. With the advancement of all things virtual and all things anonymous, there is a need for people to take a chance on opportunities like this, and which we've seen him do. We are seeing him do in real time. We've had Russell Okung, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He got his, I think, a portion or part of his contract or the whole thing of his contract in Bitcoin. And, of course, we've seen a number of other athletes going to follow in the same footsteps. And they're trailblazing. And it's, of course, there's always a risk associated with anything that's not guaranteed. But they're going to be millionaires. Statistically speaking, they're going to be millionaires for the rest of their lives. So that risk, they can take that risk. And I think it's a reasonable risk in terms of someone who is not a millionaire. So shout out to them. I hope this opens up the doorway for more people to look into it, do their research on cryptocurrencies. Of course, there is a lot of money to be made in that realm. And I hope there's money for everybody to be made. You know, there's money to be made for everybody. Yeah, there's money to be made by everybody. And it's not one of those things that you have to be secretive about. You know, if you have your close-knit friends that you can talk money with, I advise you to do so, because this is one of those things that it's going to continue to blow up. It was something as small as, you know, $50, $60, $70 per, you know, per Bitcoin years ago. We're not talking decades ago. We're talking about years ago. And now it's something that's their value is at, it's been fluctuating between 55,000 and 65,000 or 60,000 in the past few weeks. So it's only going to keep growing. And shout out to all those guys who are passing on that knowledge of not only investing, but just the cryptocurrency world, and including those who have shared and helped me along my way. And I've got a long ways to go, but any type of financial advice that you receive about crypto or stock, they're going to tell you I'm not a trained professional. And two, only use money that you're okay and comfortable losing, because of course it is, it's an estimated gamble. I put it that way.
Right.
So
I know this is not like super connected to it, but it kind of reminds me of the NFT thing. That's
That's huge too, man.
Right. And you know how Trevor Lawrence right now is going with this big deal, and you're familiar with the NBA Top Shot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I seen, who did I see post a picture of their, when they were looking at the selections that they had on the website? I can't remember who it was I saw. I was like, look at this. I was like, this is going to be, that's going to be a thing.
It's only a matter of time before it goes into the other sports. So I wouldn't be surprised if we announced it, or somebody announced it tomorrow, that it's going to be NFL Top Shots or whatever they're going to call it. Basically, digital trading cards. And, you know, I'm still trying to understand not the value of it, but go ahead.
As if trading cards wasn't already a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Those of you who are listening and you're sports fans and you have a few dollars to throw away, whenever the NFL wraps up their, they're going to be doing their photo shoots in their, you know, in their jerseys and stuff like that in the coming weeks. And those cards, those trading cards are going to hit the shelves everywhere. Your Walmarts, your Targets, you know, anywhere where you can get trading cards, Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, all that. Magic, if you're into Magic, shout out to Darius, D-Rob. That's where you're going to want to get a few of those, possibly get them sent off, get them signed, get them certified and sit on those, because there are literal Luka Doncic cards floating around from his rookie season that are worth thousands of dollars now that only cost less than 10 bucks because of who he has turned into. I mean, he's not who he's turned into, of how he has developed as a pro. So you just imagine whatever your favorite team is, whatever that first round pick that you guys got, if that particular player blows up, let's say 2 or 3 years from now, that trading card that you spent 30 cents on is going to be worth a lot of money if it has a signature on it and it's engraved, it's encased in certified plastic. So
we got to get Eric to come on, because that's what he's been doing in the past years. Like he has a couple of connections at all these stores where like they tell him like, hey, there's a drop coming. So he'll try to go buy like the rookie cards and
hey.
He's like, hey, Eric, I need this guy to play well, you know.
Look, man, I got a $5 bill right here with your name on it. Come on this show. Of course, Deontay's going to see you that $5. Come on this show and drop some knowledge.
Yeah.
We would love to have you. Wouldn't we love to see that, Jackie? We love to see that. Right, Jackie?
Right.
His name is Lee, damn it. But, yeah, that's huge. I didn't know that. I didn't see – I've been learning new things about E all the time. Like, and I did not know that. Did not know that. Had no idea.
He's
all right. I didn't mean to put your business out there. Well, that's Deontay. He put your business out there.
They're definitely into crypto and, you know, NFT. Him and, well, KJ too. KJ, you know, they're diving into it a little bit. But, yeah, it's definitely, the future is changing for sure with the NFT thing, the crypto, diving into sports industry. So interesting to see where those things are headed for sure.
Big things going. Get in before it gets too high. Buy in before it's less. Buy in as its value is less than a cent. Throw $25 at it today and check back in 3 years from now. Bam, you're a millionaire. And that's not financial advice. None of this is. So do your thing.
Over the weekend, I want to say he committed like 2 days ago. Shaquille O'Neal's son committed.
Not to be confused with Shaquille O'Neal, the Diesel, the big Aristotle.
Or Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq's son, announces commitment to Texas Southern University for HBCU. I think there was an episode, Dane, where we talked about I don't think we ever talked about the Deion hire, but in general, there were a couple of athletes that were deciding. Mikey Williams was basically having the idea open that he could commit to a HBCU, and to see Shaq's son do that, maybe we're finally getting to that point where we could see more top players commit to historically black programs. What do you think about that, bro?
I think it's huge. Not only betting on itself, but if you're talented, the scouts and the teams will recognize your level of play regardless of where you go. Even if you aren't going to college and you go abroad somewhere and you're playing semi-pro, they will find you. You will become somebody's coveted draft pick on draft night. It will happen. But shout out to Shaq. Shout out to Shaq's son for committing to this. A lot of people that I've had interactions with on Twitter and on Facebook that either, you know, you went to U of H or met him at Sam or have ties to TSU or even Prairie View, they're like, you know, super excited about this because it's like it's not one of those things where he wins. It's like we all win because of it. It's just that pride that's associated with. And it's not to say that any player that doesn't go to an HBCU, there isn't pride associated with, but it's just a. It's just one of those things that you that the commitment they make, they know the risk of going to or not going to one of those top, you know, three basketball programs, you know, your Kentucky's and your UNC's and your Baylor's for that matter. So shout out to him for making that step. It's a leap of faith. And I think it's going to pay off huge for him. He'll be on somebody's NBA roster here pretty soon. You know, and that's not even including the name. The last name isn't, you know, that's not even touching anything on that. But he's got talent of his own. He's a man to stand on his own 2 feet. And you can, you know, it's nothing cooler than that. So shout out to him, man. Hoping for the best for him.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's not the same sport, but, you know, Deion Sanders, that he just finished his first year coaching at Jackson State. Mm-hmm. There have been rumors that Marshall Faulk could possibly get the head coaching job at Southern. So we see like these big time athletes, not even athletes, just big time names going to HBCU sports athletic programs. We could definitely see a shift in those big time athletes going there and following guys that, you know, are trying to set an example, trying to push the agenda to, you know, hey, let's not forget about the programs that we have over here. Overall, man, it's good to see, you know, them pushing this agenda. Hopefully more athletes can, I mean, I'm not saying go to HBCU, but it's cool to, like, you know, have it in the conversation, be like, and kind of like what you were saying, controlling, like, if you're good enough, they're going to come to you.
Yeah, they're going to go regardless. They're going to come to you.
Now on to our, I need a nerdy news drop, like,
Nerdy
news. First, before we get into the Marvel,
before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
The Marvel sizzle reel. I got a chance to hop on the One Take Pod with my guy Dex and Royden, and we talked the finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And so, if you have not been able to listen to that, go ahead and listen to that. But Dane, we need to get your opinion on what you thought of the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier, my guy.
Man, I thought it was huge. It did something I didn't know that it was going to do, and that's in terms of identifying the passing of the mantle. We already symbolically, we got the passing of the mantle, the name of Captain America. We got that in Endgame. But this set it in stone. We've seen as the credits rolled, Captain America and the Winter Soldier versus Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So that was pretty huge and symbolic in terms of seeing all of the hard work that we saw these two characters put in, and the payoff was huge. Not only that, but I thought it was a moment of redemption for your boy, great value Captain America, when he took the opportunity to say, well, obviously, spoiler alert, he took the opportunity to save those politicians in that van and you know, at that particular time, we seen him take a back seat to the actual Captain America, the real Captain America. And it was more so him acknowledging, OK, maybe I can do this, but maybe in the right terms. Maybe I'm not fit to be a leader, but I can lead by example as a follower. So I appreciated the show. It was very short, quick, to the point. And we got to see some pretty decent fight scene. Not decent. We got to see some pretty amazing fight scenes and some pretty decent bad guy motivations. I was kind of held up on Carly, right? Was it Carly?
Carly,
she was a terrorist, bro. Like, she was a literal terrorist. Like, and they just, it was so many different opportunities they had to try to sensationalize her and make her seem human. I was like, nah, she's been past the point when she blew up a building full of people. Like, past that.
I mentioned that on when I was on the podcast with them. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the Flag Smashers at all, because I felt like in a lot of the episodes that we saw her repeating the same mm-hmm. message, not even the one world, one people thing, but it was just like, we need to make them pay, or we need to make them listen to us. And I guess it, because it was taking the entire show for them to actually do whatever they were
doing.
We didn't know for
since we didn't know what it was building up to. We just knew it was something.
Yeah, and I guess to get that plan in action, kind of was like, okay, come on,
get to it. It's like
right, but yeah, overall, man, I enjoyed the show. Six, like you said, six episodes. Very political, of course. Everything with Isaiah Bradley and him. Mm-hmm. You know, Sam honoring him. That was
dope.
You know, Marvel always going to hit on those points where, you know, it pulls at your heartstrings. One thing that one more gripe and then we'll move on. I understand the overall message of what Marvel, you know, was trying to portray, which I don't knock the message at all, but it was something off to me about the final that, you know, after the battle where, you know, Carly's dead and Sam talking to the senator and
it was like 2 or 3 minutes too long. That scene.
Maybe it was too long. And then, like, I don't know. It's because if I was in news before working in news, but I know
they would chop that up. You ain't getting that whole full segment.
That, and, like, there's no way. The news is picking up the mic, like, on them that close. Like, the microphones aren't picking that up of them talking in a huddle. Like, I don't know. It's very picky.
You said the acoustics weren't right, and you don't appreciate that.
Like how everybody was watching and listening to what Sam was saying on the news. Like, there was no microphone close enough to understand and hear what he was trying to say.
What if they were actually tapped in to the mic that was inside of his ear that he was using to communicate with his team? What if they were somehow I don't know. You raised a good point, but I was in terms of speaking of the speech he was giving was a little too long.
So. I agree with that too. Like I'm not knocking the message, man.
No, not at all.
Obviously, but just we get it.
Yeah.
But today, Monday, Marvel released a sizzle reel kind of previewing upcoming movies. Like, it was basically like a get to the movies kind of hype, because all these were movies that are going to come out in the theater and not on Disney Plus, except for Black Widow, but previewing Black Widow, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, as well as Eternals. First look at Eternals, which I'll talk about that in a second, but we get the Black Panther name is going to be Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Captain Marvel 2 will be called The Marvels. Then we got Guardian of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming. Ant-Man Quantumania
or something like that.
And then the logo for Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that was enough for me.
I think I got hit on everything, right? I might have.
Pretty much. You missed a few things, but it's all good.
But first thing, Eternals. You know, I feel like Eternals, the cast is already crazy, but
the cast is talented.
Same way I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I had no idea what Guardians of the Galaxy was because I wasn't in the comics, and I ended up loving the movie. I feel like I'm going to feel the same way about Eternals. Like, what do you think when you saw it?
I was amazed at how much they showed. I was like, holy crap, they're showing a lot of this. I saw my boy, what's this? Was that Rob Stark?
Yeah.
Rob Stark? Yeah, I see my boy Rob Stark. I was like, oh, snap, I know that dude. Spoiler alert, they killed my dude up in Game of Thrones and he back.
John Stone's in the movie too. And
yeah, he's the Black Knight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool. But yeah, they got some dogs on that acting roster.
Yeah.
They finna do a real good acting job. Word to Jamie Foxx.
Of course, Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. Like, they set that up perfectly, you know, because they were previewing past movies and, you know, that part where T'Challa Wakanda Forever before Infinity War. Definitely interested to see how Ryan Coogler is going to, you know, of course, honor Chadwick Boseman. And, you know, give us a movie that definitely probably going to put us, you know, in tears for sure. But definitely excited for that one coming out next summer. One project that it's not even on here that
Doctor Strange. That's the one you forgot. I forgot. Couldn't remember that. My bad.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, and Spider-Man No Way Home. Golly.
Yeah.
Spider-Man
coming out later in December this year.
Yeah. So, you know, Marvel is killing it with the slate, definitely catching up on a lot of lost time. Is there a project that you're most excited for out of the ones we saw?
Doctor Strange 2, and it wasn't mentioned, but Loki. I'm looking forward to Loki like crazy, like that. Tom Hiddleston, that was probably one of the best castings that we've seen in the Marvel universe. Period, because one, he plays a hell of a good villain, and then two, he plays a hell of a good instigator. And three, he's mischievous as hell. So I'm excited to see what type of shenanigans he gets himself into. And of course, what type of shenanigans he gets himself out of. But of course, Doctor Strange, he's my favorite from the original phase or the first phase of Marvel. My favorite was probably Tony Stark.
Yeah.
He's witty. He's very smart. Funny as hell. And then he was a dog, like going toe to toe with a mad Titan. He's a dog, human at that. So my next favorite guy from this upcoming phase is probably going to be Doctor Strange, just because that fool's smooth as hell, bro. Like he cold. That dude is cold, bro. So
sad. Kevin Feige came out today and said that he basically said,
yeah, he confirmed it.
He was that Doctor Strange was supposed to be in the WandaVision finale, which was like, dang, like it would have been so cool to see him pop up. But you know, we wait a little bit longer to see him do his thing in Doctor Strange 2. So I'm not going with the same pick as you. I'll go with Ant-Man,
and
just because if they go visit the city, Quantum City, they were showing in Ant-Man 2, I think that'd be pretty cool to possibly see villains, because our boy Jonathan Majors is playing Kang the Conqueror. So I think we'll probably get some kind of glimpse of how he probably came about.
Or what he was doing, or what Scott Lang was doing in the 5 hours that he was trapped in the quantum realm. Was it 5 or 2?
5.
He's like, it must have been a long 5 years. Like, that's the thing. Time in the quantum realm is different. I was only in there for 5 hours. Like, so what the hell was you doing? So maybe we get a glimpse of what was going on during the 5 hours that he was there. But you're absolutely right. We're going to see some amazing stuff. Like, and then yeah. So, and Paul Rudd is a dude, bro. He's a dude.
Love Paul Rudd. One thing that I mentioned on the One Take podcast was, because they kind of were asking me about my general grade of Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I gave it a B+. But I was like, man, overall, I'm just happy to have MCU content. You know, after over a year of not having anything with everything going on with the pandemic, just to have content, man, I'm gonna love it. I mean, of course, I'm gonna have some gripes here and there, but overall, I'm gonna embrace it, love it, cherish it. And you know, we getting project after project this year and next year and 2023. I mean, being an MCU fan, you can't lose. You're winning right now.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off what you said, no particular piece of content that's put out by anybody is above criticism. Even this podcast.
Right.
There's going to be plenty of opportunities you have to pick it up that we say this wrong, especially Deontay. But that's not to say that, you know, we're above anything, because we're definitely not above criticism. And neither of these entities, like your Disney's and, you know, your Marvels and all that good stuff. So they put out good stuff. We're going to talk about it. You smell me?
You
got a problem with it. You got a problem with it. Problems with you, not with me.
That is another episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast, episode 43. Deontay Epps, Dane Beasley. Please make sure, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. Review would be nice as well. And, you know, keep rocking with us. If you're still here, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. You can check us out on all digital streaming platforms, as well as our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com.
So, this is the Darren Sproles podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's number 43. Man, that dude, glad he retired, man. Whooping our ass every time we play him. Anywho, see y'all boys later.
We out.
Peace.